Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelley.
March 28, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. This is not the normal O'Shelley Effect on a Monday, a moon day. Why? Because we are going to pay tribute tonight to an individual who deserves a lot more tribute than he's getting. And before I even introduce my co-host for this show tonight, I'm going to play you a clip, and one that needs to be heard. One that introduced this individual to a lot of people back some years ago. I can't even think of what year it was. Maybe 2007. I think it was when a lot of people heard this, and it was on a very popular disc that people distributed. Well, regular listeners of this show will recognize it right away.
The more you begin to investigate what we think we understand, where we came from, what we think we're doing, the more you begin to see we've been lied to. We've been lied to by every institution. What makes you think for 1 minute that the religious institution is the only one that's never been touched? The religious institutions of this world are at the bottom of the dirt. The religious institutions in this world are put there by the same people who gave you your government, your corrupt education, who set up your international banking cartels, because our masters don't give a damn about you or your family. All they care about is what they have always cared about, and that's controlling the whole damn world. We have been misled away from the true and divine presence in the universe that men have called God. I don't know what God is, but I know what he isn't. And unless and until you are prepared to look at the whole truth, and wherever it may go, whoever it may lead to, if you want to look the other way, or if you want to play favorites, then somewhere along the line, you're going to find out you're messing with divine justice. The more you educate yourself, the more you understand where things come from, the more obvious things become, and you begin to see lies everywhere. You have to know the truth and seek the truth, and the truth will set you free.
And the truth will set you free. Many people have said it. You may recognize that voice. It is Jordan Maxwell's voice. And that is from one of the many versions of the movie Zeitgeist. So I'll take my copyright strike if there is one to be given. And we'll move forward with my co-host for tonight, Jeffrey Matt. Jeffrey, how you doing, sir?
I'm great, Chuck. Thanks for having me on again. And this is a very privileged opportunity for, well, I know for me, and I'm really confident for you and the listenership, that we can spend a few moments discussing really the incredible life and incredible research and work of Jordan Maxwell.
Hmm. Well, that is what we're here to do. And tell you what, I'm going to let Jordan do a whole lot of the talking tonight. Just so everybody knows, I have some stuff that I have never played anywhere that nobody's ever heard except me and Jordan, private conversations. I got a couple of pieces of that. Maybe we'll get to that, but it's very important to talk about why it is we know him, how it is we came to know him, not just as somebody that we admired, of course, and learned from and could easily do so from a distance, but each of us interacted with him in different ways. At a certain point, I mean, you were, for lack of a better term, his roommate, right?
Yeah.
You know, I never got to do that. But some years ago, when Jordan had some troubles, let's say, financially, etc., and somebody else who was supposedly helping me to get guests told me that Jordan Maxwell would never sit down and have a conversation with you. I said, okay, no problem. I moved on. And a short time later, actually, Jordan reached out to me. And we wound up doing this thing because I was on American Freedom Radio. And they were putting, you know, the very best people they could together to do this, like, huge live marathon. Somehow or other, I ended up on there talking to Jordan. And it turns out that, you know, in reaching out between Jordan and myself, we started to find that, indeed, he had already taught me a great deal without ever having spoken to me. I leave it at that, but I will say that this next little clip is extremely important because it's from the Jordan Maxwell Show website, where, as I stated many times on my own show, this is the only website that actually belongs to Jordan Maxwell. There was a reason for that, and Jordan put a little introduction on the website, which I have cleaned up and cut down a little bit. And the majority of the clips I'm going to play tonight are actually from my show and my archive, personal one, but that clip from Zeitgeist, which actually Jeffrey extracted, Jeffrey Matt, that is, extracted for me, and this clip here, which I extracted myself and cleaned up a bit, are extremely important. And I even cut down some of the bleeps where he bleeps stuff out on here just because they were a little long, I thought. And I've actually sped it up a bit, but it's a few minutes long. Let's take a listen.
Hello, folks. This is Jordan Maxwell. I've been gone for some time. A lot of people have been asking, you know, when I'm going to get back to doing radio. Well, I've been fighting for my life and against people who have been my name and my money and website and my work, my product. So I've been, you know, I've been heavily involved in trying to stay alive and to get my life back. But it would appear that things are beginning to turn for the better for me. And so I live with the hope that these people who have my life for the past 5 years and everything I own will go to. That's what I keep hoping and praying, that one day I will see them in a where they belong. But they'll in that. But that being said, and this is what the is now beginning to look at. And so I think things are beginning to change for me. So I wanted everyone to know that I'm back. I'm going to be recording new shows. I mean, this is what I love doing. I just haven't been able to do it because the people that have everything from me keep putting out the and cyber-fucking me, so I cannot do my work. But as I said, I think things are changing now, so I'm getting back into radio and getting back into being productive again.
Okay, there's more to that clip, but I interrupted here to just insert one more thing. So around this time, you know, there was a couple of false starts there with him coming back to doing his own thing and being on. He had been on everybody's show. He had definitely been a guest speaker at conferences, stuff like this, for a very long time. But when he was going back to do the thing, the Jordan Maxwell Show itself, I actually participated in putting together his introduction. A lot of people don't know this, but that's Mrs. O's voice that says, can you handle the truth? The Jordan Maxwell Show. That's Kim. So Danny and myself, Danny Romero and myself, mixed that together and put things together so that Jordan could go back and do a show that was totally under his control and all that kind of stuff. Now there was a lot of stuff I wasn't involved in, but I'm just saying, it's just one of those things that I was more than happy. I was pleased and proud and, never, you know, it's not like anybody was paying me. This was something that I did because it needed to be done. It needed to be done for a man that needed stuff done for him. And, Jordan deserved it. So anything I could do. And I'm not saying that I never supported him other ways. I did. But this isn't about me today. Let's get back to the rest of Jordan's statement from his website, because I think it's rather interesting to put it in context now. And we're going to get into some other stuff that happened way after this in a moment. But, Jeffrey, anything you want to say before I move this forward?
I was in and out of the understanding of all this stuff for all those years, as early as 2010. And it is, he is not embellishing. He is not seeking sympathy. It was very severe, and it's very severe, the situation that he went through. And I wish I could have done more for him, but I'm just letting you know, and the listenership know, this is authentic. No BS. He went through some serious hard times, and he's still suffering from it today. So let's hear the rest, because I think that people should hear this.
Good.
So all of that being said, I want to thank everyone for their support and for their kindness of thinking about me and supporting me in these dark days that I've lived for the past 5 years. But again, having said that, I wanted to make you also aware of the fact that on my podcast website, Jordan Maxwell Show, for one thing, 2 points. One, this is my website. You're hearing my voice. You're hearing me saying that this is my website, because a lot of people say, well, is Jordan Maxwell's show really Jordan Maxwell's website? Yes, it is. You're hearing my voice. You're hearing me telling you. So, yes, Jordan Maxwell's show is my website. And was my but that's been by who have stolen my money and everything from me. So that's the point I want everyone to know. Has been from me, so have nothing to do with it. But on the other hand, Jordan Maxwell's show is my website, and so I want people to know that. And one last thing is that I have decided, because I have been advised by attorneys, I have been advised that there are two ways to present yourself to this world, public and private. And I have been told legally that if you say something in public, you can get in trouble. But if you say something in private to your friends in private, even if it's an organization, like Ku Klux Klan or something like that, as long as you're in your own church among your own people and saying whatever you please in private to your own audience, there's nothing government can do about that. That's on the private side. But when you go out into the public and start talking like you do in the private, that's different, because I am told government is put there and empowered to protect the public. So therefore, anything you say in the public, you can be charged for. You can get into trouble for saying things in the public. And so I have been advised over the years, and I think it's the right thing to do, is to take my work, my research work, which is very controversial at best, and people who have been following my work know that, and taking my work private. And so what I'm saying is I have started a new website called Jordan Maxwell Research Society. So go on my website, Jordan Maxwell Show, and you will see a button, a little button that says Jordan Maxwell, or it says Research Society. All that is just a new website connected to my website now, in which I'm going to publicly no longer talk about important things that might get me in trouble. So I'm going to talk and do all the research that I've done in the past, all of my research. Much of it is, much of it many people have already seen, but I have an enormous amounts of research that I'm now going to start putting into the private. So if you want to follow Jordan Maxwell, you want to follow my work, you appreciate what I've been trying to do for over 50 years, then you might want to join my Research Society website.
All right. I just want to say for the record, though, as of today, as of March 28th, 2022, I do not know what the future holds for the Jordan Maxwell Research Society. I've not been informed. I've tried to get in touch with people to see what's going on there. Nobody has gotten back to me yet. I'm a member of the Jordan Maxwell Research Society. The website, as of today, is still there. But I do not know if you join it, where the money will go, what will happen. I don't know. I know the money was supposed to be going to the webmaster who was maintaining it. And Jordan had constantly handed over stuff to the webmaster to be put into the archive. But I'm sure he was still behind on that work. I don't know if they're going to continue it for a while or what they're going to do there. Jeffrey, Matt, have you heard anything about that?
It's up in the air. I don't have... Because I'm not involved directly as I used to be, it's indirect, and I'm not there. Because right now, unfortunately, since he's passed away, there's arrangements that have to be made. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if the Research Society is going to be maintained or disassembled and then reemerged somewhere else. It's very possible. But I don't, at this current stage, there's two sides of this that I want to mention. Number one, there's an existing issue, which is the clip that you put out there where you bleeped out all that stuff. That's an ongoing...
Well, I didn't do that, actually. That was whoever recorded that with Jordan did that for him. Oh, I cut down the bleeps on there. There was longer bleeps where they bleeped out stuff that he was saying. I cut it down because I found it to be a little abrasive. But when it first came out, I remember listening to it going, wow. And I know what he's saying behind those bleeps. But, you know, but the thing is, it was due to a legal issue where he didn't want to have any further problems in court that they advised him, well, you got to cut out any reference to this. And somebody went and did that, which, you know, it's not hard to do that, bleeping out a clip, you know. But somebody did that. So he could put out his statement, but not make, you know, any more legal trouble for himself, let's say. And we'll leave it at that, because honestly, there's a whole thing to it, and I'm not going to say that I know every single detail, so I'm not going to talk about it. Plus, it's not, you know, as Jordan would say, it's not actually my business, is it? Because I didn't contract with this situation. So therefore it's not my business. Just like when you get married, is that your business? Okay. Anyway, I almost went off on a tangent there, but I'm not gonna. Should we play the rest of this clip or should we move on? What do you think?
Let's just wrap up the clip, because I think this is a one-time opportunity for the world to hear his perspective, minus the, you know, the abrasive words, and take a good look at what Jordan has been facing. And I was there for a large chunk of it, not all of it, and it is very severe, because his legacy is riding on a razor's edge right now. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if whoever owns Jordan Maxwell will decide, I don't want the world to know anything about Jordan Maxwell for the rest of eternity, or they could turn into a strip mall and, you know, sell trinkets and deodorants and foot toe massagers with it, and who knows where this is all going. So the power of this show tonight and the power of the listener is to know that it, you know, for those people who follow Jordan for years, and I know they're out there, I know you're out there, your power is to you know, maybe share any material or talk to people about Jordan, introduce other people to Jordan Maxwell while he's still, his work is still on the internet, because the people who own him may remove everything and say, well, we don't want to deal with this. We'll just get rid of it all. So who knows where it's going. So we've got to take a stance, understand the situation, and let's see what Jordan has to say here for the rest of it.
Right. We'll get to the rest of it. And there are many other clips we have, by the way, guys. So just bear with us and we'll get through this. There's about 3 more minutes left and then we'll move right on.
Basically, all it is I'm going to download all kinds of research, from pictures, documents, audio, video, articles, links. I'm going to download all of my work eventually. I'm putting stuff on every day. And so it's going to be an enormous website. It's already very big. It's getting bigger by the day. And so if you'd like to join, when I first announced this, I said that I was only charging $30 a year, where most people, most websites and newsletters will charge $300 and $400 a year. I'm only charging $30 for the year. However, I have decided it's even better if I only charge one time $30 for a lifetime subscription. Just one payment of $30 for a lifetime subscription, because the only reason I'm charging at all is because I have to pay for a website. I have to pay for a webmaster. I have to pay to keep the website going. So I don't have any money. It's all been stolen from me by the people who have ripped me off and left me for dead. So I need to be able to pay my webmaster and keep the website on the air. So I'm just asking for $30, one time contribution of $30 for a lifetime subscription to a website that is going to be already as big, but it's going to be enormous because I'm downloading and having downloaded all of my research in all the departments. As I said, recommendations, books, videos, audios, articles. So I'm encouraging everyone who cares about me and my work and what I'm doing, just know that I'm not going to be doing too much in the public anymore. Of course, I will be doing radio and doing appearances on radio programs and doing my own show. But as for my research and my videos and new research, it's going to be in the private sector. So if you want to follow my work, please go to Research Society and join. It's only $30 for a lifetime subscription, and it's going to be all of my work. You will have an enormous amount of material continually pouring into my research website. So I just want to make you aware. A one-time charge of $30 for a lifetime subscription. And I want to thank everyone for how they have been supportive and caring about my person and my work. And I hope very soon to be back on my feet. And it's starting to happen now, and it looks like it's going to. I have been winning the cases in court now, and it looks very good. So I just wanted to invite everyone to not only go to my website, Jordan Maxwell Show, but to join my new research website, Jordan Maxwell's Research Society. I want to thank everyone again.
See, now, it's interesting because you hear how he starts out with the $30 membership a year and then goes to the lifetime. The truth of the matter is that none of that money actually went to him. He just wanted to maintain the website that way. Now, if you went to his donate button and you sent him some money, he got it. But only on that website, only on Jordan Maxwell's show. I don't tell anybody today to do this now because I don't know where that money's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. In the future, if there's any announcement, I hope that they let me know over there. If the Research Society is to be continued or reformed, I hope they let me know. But I can only tell you what I know. And another thing to note here is that Jordan was never about the money. There's a few circumstances I know about personally where he could have been paid and didn't take the money when he knew it was going to come out of somebody's pocket who couldn't afford it. And people were willing to pay him even though it was going to make him broke. And he took a donation instead of whatever it is they could afford for something that he did for him.
Yeah.
This is not something everybody knows. Jeffrey, I'm sure you could back me up on this, that this is exactly what Jordan used to do, despite the fact that sometimes he didn't have money to eat with. And, you know, it kills me that, you know, such a valuable man was not as well supported by people who claimed to love him, you know. Anyways, I'm not trying to even point fingers here. I'm just saying that it's one of those examples where I feel like saying aloud that you need to support people while they're alive, because when they're gone, they're gone. And there's nothing you can do about it, but you could have made their life better if they made your life better, you know? And Jordan's one of those guys who did not get his due. I'm not saying he never got anything, but he also got robbed, like he said, ripped off. And many, many different ways. And he says the court cases look good. At that time, they did, I guess. Yeah. Later on, not so much. But I don't want to linger on that, and I don't want to linger on the negative. Because this man gave us a whole lot, and I want to get to that. So, Jeffrey, what should we say here before I move on to a clip from my show, which has a little something to do with Hollywood, actually?
Well, a couple things. First, I just want to clarify, you know, I made some statements that you could lose everything, I think it'd be removed. I'm not talking about the webmaster who managed the Research Society, and I'm not talking about the individuals who are helping take care of Jordan's needs after he's unfortunately left us. I'm talking about the court cases that Jordan was alluding to. Even myself, I'm not involved in any way, but even myself, I'm afraid of them. When I wake up and go to sleep every day, part of my fear in my life is them. Mm-hmm. So I would say I want to focus more on it's just over the top contribution and commitment. So like you said, it's a good way to segue out of that to start talking about the really incredible things that he's done. So it's been a very challenging situation, but this man has been through the ringer many, many times. And I've seen people over the years who are incredibly thoughtful, caring, supportive, wrote him amazing emails. I used to help him with his emails. I used to help him with the materials and research stuff. And so I know in my heart, and I know with the fact, that people of all backgrounds and ages have reached out to Jordan with love, with affection, with respect, right? Which he unfortunately wasn't respected by what you just pointed out. But he is an adored man, and I'm not saying that just to make it, you know, I'm doing this because it's true.
Well, no, look, don't take it wrong that I'm saying nobody did. I'm just saying that to my mind, it wasn't commensurate with what he gave.
That's absolutely correct.
So, you know, and I don't blame the people that did for him. I don't blame the people that tried to help him. I tried to help him with things. Other people did. You know, we did what we could. But and there is no fault on our part. But the abuse that he suffered from some other people was just absolutely horrendous. And the amount of being taken advantage of, not just in the situation that he's talking about on that tape, but in other situations where he was taken advantage of, was absolutely horrendous. And, you know, is well beneath the kind of guy he was. And the kind of guy he is, because he will continue. I don't think even those that own his likeness and everything else, I don't believe that they'll be able to completely quash him, because he just exists in so much space now.
Yeah.
And I think that that is a wonderful thing, that no matter the control of the corporate structure over the corporation that was, or that probably will still continue to be, the ideas and the education can still survive, even if they take away all the websites, even if, you know, there's lots of presentations out there that are in people's hands. Nobody's going to have control over that. And, you know, I've already been through a thing with the long series that I did with him where, anyway. If I have anything to say about it, and if other people have anything to say about it, believe me, there's no way that he's going to disappear or just become, you know, a way to sell trinkets. It's not going to happen.
Not while I'm alive. He's not going to. Look, I'm not the guy who's going to, you know, I don't even come close to this man's intellect and research delivery process over six decades. I'm not a fool. This man has superseded most people's ability that I've met. And so my feelings and my heart and my spirit tells me this man has changed my life. He's awakened and helped millions of people around the world. And one part of my life is to make sure that if I ever meet somebody who's never heard of him and is open, I will, through word of mouth, through the power of me to that other person, will share and expand the awareness of this man's research. Because basically, he can help, his research, as far as I'm concerned, can be a pivotal piece, a foundation piece of the greatest reformation of all life on earth. That, I know that sounds like an exaggerated claim, but for those people who have studied his work will understand what I'm saying, that it's not a joke, it's not an embellishment, it is what I would consider a factual thing. It's just not enough people know about him. And so whatever negativity that's trying to suppress him, or if the people who own him decide we're shutting everything down because we own the universe, they're going to struggle. They can't stop 8 billion people. They can't stop the universe. And the universe is us. We are the expression of life, the expression of spirit, of intellect, of God's creation, whatever God is to you. I believe in God. I don't believe in organized religion, but I believe that this man had a spiritual mission. He accomplished it under unparalleled attack. And so that's why I live in fear of the people who own him every day of my life.
Well, I have to stop you there because fear, oh no. No, no, my friend. Let's let you, Jordan, do some more talking and see how we feel about
That's
fear
good.
When we're
That's
done.
That's good. Let's hear it.
Something else occurred to me, and somebody mentioned this on Skype, and I want to get to it.
Really quick, this is a clip from my show, so my voice will be on there briefly, but it's mostly Jordan's, and sorry about that. But here we go.
Because I'm a big fan of Star Trek, right? I always appreciated it because it spoke to me on a bunch of different levels. But I recognize that in the entertainment business, and you mentioned it earlier about Hollywood and everything, television shows, all this stuff representing different things, right?
Right.
And somebody mentioned to me in Skype that, you know, that you might have some interesting thoughts about the symbolism in Star Trek. Now, and I'm sure it goes way beyond the concept of, you know, say, people talk about it all the time with the Next Generation and the tablets that they used in the 80s, and now we have them now, and the cell phones, you know, the flip phones that were prevalent for a while. Gee, no. It goes way beyond that, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It really goes beyond all of that. I mean, the very spaceship itself is called Enterprise.
Right.
Enterprise is a business, and so the Enterprise has taken man where he's never been before. That's right. Business is out of hand. It's going all over now. Crazy. They're making a business out of babies who are born. They own them. And so, you know, commerce, which is sex, according to the encyclopedia and the dictionary, and that's why it's called commerce. It's a business. And so, and like you said, different corporations have affairs with each other. They have connections. Well, when you look at this whole thing of Star Trek and Star Wars and the Empire Strikes Back, there's all kinds of secret symbolism and words and concepts that are being put in front of you. But as you know, and at the time of 9/11, there was a movie came out called Two Towers, Twin Towers. And so many movies and television shows had 9/11. Years before 9/11, there were all kinds of shows, television shows, magazines, movies that featured the word 9/11, featured 9/11. And there's about 40 movies. You go on the web, just go on the web and type in 9/11 before 9/11. And you see all kinds of movies and television shows talking about what's going to happen on 9/11.
Well, one of the weirdest things was the show they called The Lone Gunman.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I'm sure you're familiar with that. That's a dude. I mean, if people don't know about this, I don't know what to tell you, but I mean, give your take on that.
Well, one of my dearest friends is Dean Haglund. Dean Haglund and I have been friends for many years. Well, he played in the what was the sci-fi movie? I'm getting old. I can't remember. What was the sci-fi movie up in Canada? The big one. What was it?
Well,
the big sci-fi series, huh?
Well, there was
X-Files. Mm-hmm. Okay. X-Files. And in X-Files, there was a guy who had long blonde hair and wore granny glasses, and he was a computer nerd. Remember that? The long-haired, blonde-haired kid? And he was in almost all the episodes. Well, that's Dean Haglund. And Dean was a very close friend of mine. We used to hang out together. So Dean gave me a copy of many of the shows, you know, that he got. He gave them to me. But Dean Haglund was also, when they stopped making X-Files, when they stopped making it, the director, I mean, the producer, whatever his name was, I can't remember. But anyway, the producer went on to produce a new television series. And the next TV series was going to be called The Lone Gunman. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because no matter what happens in America or around the world, no matter who is killed, who's assassinated, it doesn't matter. It's always, quote, a lone gunman, end quote. So it could be a conspiracy involving 46 wealthy people killing somebody, but when you hear about it in the paper, it will be a lone gunman. So Chris Carter, the producer of X-Files, was producing a new television show, and it's called The Lone Gunman. And in it, they showed the very first one, the first episode, it's talking about how there was a group inside the U.S. government. I watched it. I've got a copy of it. I'm sitting and watching it on television. But it was about a group of people on the inside of government at the top who were going to fly 747s and big jets into the World Trade Center and knock them down and then go into Iraq and to the Middle East and for oil and start a major war. Well, that's what the movie was about in, you know, about 8 or 9 months before 9/11. So you're seeing it 8 or 9 months before 9/11, you're seeing a television show called The Lone Gunman, in which you got jets, big super jets, big ones, flying into the World Trade Center to knock them down so that we could have an excuse to go in, get the oil and all the valuable resources out of the Middle East and take over the Middle East. That was a television special. That was a television movie. I don't know what that tells you. And so that, along with the whole idea that all kinds of stuff in the movies, you know, like I said, go on the web and just type in 9/11 before 9/11, and you'll see all kinds of places where 9/11 pops up on the screen everywhere. So Hollywood knew what was coming. They were making movies about it 5 years before it even happened. That's the way it works.
The next clip I'm going to play is also from my show. It is titled, and by the way, I want to thank Dave and Jeff for helping me collect stuff other people offered, but and also, let's see here, and Mitch. Dave, Mitch, and Jeffrey for helping me collect these things together. This is another clip from my show, and this one is titled Out of Place Artifacts, and I think it'll tie together with the last clip, but let's just... Like I said, let Jordan do the talking.
I am totally convinced that the Earth as we know it has a totally different history than anything you've ever heard. Mm. And one of the reasons why is because we are finding, one of the reasons why I believe that we are being led by a higher power that is about as vicious and demonic and depraved as it can, as you can possibly imagine, is because if you go into like Africa and all over the world, we're finding what is called out of place artifacts, things which are found that make no sense to anyone. And since that's the case, scientists don't discuss it because the scientists didn't find it and they didn't discover it. Well, then it must not be important. And especially if it throws a monkey wrench into their belief system completely by finding something that you can hold in your hand that tells you your whole idea of history is totally incorrect. No wonder the scientists don't want to look at out of place artifacts. And what I'm talking about is that, like in South Africa, they were digging, very, very deep mines. And they go down to a strata. They go down so far into the earth, how many miles, I don't know, miles into the earth, and they hit a strata which all paleontologists and archaeologists will agree that at that depth of the in the ground, you're hitting strata which is 3.5 to 4 billion years old. And at that strata, in that strata that's 3.5 to 4 billion years old that all scientists agree, you're finding handmade artifacts. strange bracelets, rings, strange artifacts somebody had created. It didn't just pop in, a ring just doesn't pop out of nowhere. So somebody was here 4.5 billion with a B. 3.5 to 4 billion years ago. And so I don't know what that does for your modern day educational system. You know, that man, we know everything about mankind. We've got it all nailed down. We know everything there is to know.
Just pausing, Jordan, for a second. It knocks your modern day education system on its ass. That's what it does.
And all the Marxist, Leninist, Soviet communist professors in their universities today will tell you we know everything there is to know about everything in the whole world. Well, and point of fact, no, the entire world we live in has been under, is now, and I think probably always will be, under a demonic depravity, an evil, filthy, and degenerate presence on the earth that promotes violence, rape, plunder, chaos, the destruction of families, the destruction of governments. It's a very ancient story. And of course we go about all the writings of the ancient world, and there's so many good people out there today that are talking about this that really know what they're doing. Like Michael Cremo, for instance. Michael Cremo is one right off the top of my head, one of the best out there. Lloyd Pye was another one. If you go on the web and type in Lloyd Pye, P-Y-E, and listen to his discussions, it'll blow your mind about what was on this earth hundreds of millions of years ago. And, of course, we know in the oceans of the world, off the coast of Cuba, off the coast of Okinawa, off the coast of Florida, and the Bermuda Triangle, all over the world, and the oceans are great, huge temples. We know that there's seashells and salt deposits on the Great Pyramid in Egypt. Nobody's ever discussed how come seashells and salt deposits are on the pyramid in Egypt. Nobody seems to realize that the Sphinx was water eroded. The erosion of Sphinx is by water. Most people don't know what's really going on this earth and the actual real history. And so that's why I'm saying I am totally convinced that we as humans are being overshadowed by some sort of a profoundly evil but brilliant mindset from somewhere, like the Knights Templars used to say, as above, so below. I think there's something to that, because what's going on here on the earth below implies that there's some sort of an overshadowing of the earth. The whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one, as what the Bible says. And I think that's exactly true.
I think you're exactly correct. And the fact is that this is nothing new. This is not some sort of modern concoction.
See, the interesting thing there is, when I started to talk to him about stuff like this, and we got into the control, who controls the world kind of stuff, I used to just sit there shaking my head, listening, because I knew that I was about to get a slew of emails from Christians that were going to be very angry with me right away. People that call themselves Christians, which, by the way, Jordan Maxwell, it was really kind of among your ranks, whether you realized it or not. Some people would say that he wasn't, and not true. And I wound up discussing that with him during the theology series, but enough out of me. The next clip was actually provided to me by Jeffrey, and so I'll let him introduce it.
Yeah, thank you, Chuck. So this clip is just something that I noticed. It actually was with Jordan at the time when it came out. I think it was, my memory's not perfect on this, around 2008, 2009. And it was somebody out there who created like a little mini tribute video while he was alive. So whoever did that, I'm extraordinarily grateful. So let's see. I enjoyed this clip because it covered a lot of ground. So let's take a look. Let's take a listen.
I always like to start off my presentations by saying I am not the world's foremost authority on anything. Many people have been very generous to me and accolades, but in point of fact, I'm not an authority on anything. I am simply an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. I was given a mind and a brain by the God that created me, and consequently I chose a long time ago to use it. As far as I'm concerned, there is a whole world of knowledge which is hidden from most people because most people can't handle the truth. And I wanted to know. That's the difference. Early in life, I decided that I wanted to know the truth about everything I could find out, about everything I could think of. And so I pursued reading and studying and questioning all kinds of authors and writers, and I used to write letters around the world to different corporations. I used to correspond with the Chinese government and the Russian government and all of the secret societies, and it became apparent to me that there's a bigger world out there than what you know. There are things going on out here in the world that the people who run this world from behind the scenes are many things, but stupid is not one of them. They are operating on a very high spiritual level, the people who run this world. And so often in theology, as in most things in life, there are two kinds of facts. There is the kind of fact that you look up and the kind that you make up. And I have always understood the difference. And to ask the right questions is to be halfway to the right answer. I am absolutely disturbed and amazed at how much Christianity has slipped from what it started out to be as opposed to what it is today. Christianity is not found today in America, virtually anywhere.
See, now that's interesting because it kind of ties to the comment I made, but it's a little bit of a different clip than what I thought we were going to play. So, go ahead.
Well, that's actually my mistake. I should have said, be more clear. But yes, this clip was the one I selected, but I made a mistake. I was alluding to another one, but this is exactly what I want the people to hear. So, go ahead, Chuck.
Oh yeah. Okay. No, but you know what? It's perfect because it's the introduction to. What we talked about many times during that theology series, which was about the misguided sort of nature of what was Christianity. Jordan, I asked him a blunt question about, you know, was he at one time part of any church or anything like that? And he had said on there that he was actually a Jehovah's Witness at an earlier point in his life, but since had changed his views. You know, certainly did believe in God Almighty, etc., and all this. And he clarified it his way. And you can go back and listen in that series and talk about it or hear about it, where I asked him directly about that. Other people started attacking that series when I was doing it with them as it was happening, that I was doing the devil's work even and all this stuff. And they got really bent out of shape when we talked about Israel. Don't worry, we're going to get into that in the second hour, I assure you. And actually, you know, one of the things here that I think is of great importance is to talk about the, something that you were referring to earlier about, you know, where are we headed? What is it we could do collectively? What could the education this man provided us do literally, figuratively, intellectually? It's another clip from my show about redemption. But anyway, this was given to me by Dave. It's extracted from my shows, but I did not have the wherewithal to get everything together I wanted for tonight. So I'm very glad that other people provided me with almost exactly what I wanted anyway, that I wanted to find in my own shows and other places. So kind of interesting when you ask people to help you out with something that... is important, and somehow they come up with it even if you don't tell them exactly what it is you want. You guys gave it to me, you included, Jeffrey. So before we play this clip and close out this hour, which, by the way, there will be a second hour, and from what I'm told, Aaron Franz will join us in the second hour to also comment about these things. Any thoughts, or should we, again, continue to let Jordan do the talking?
Yeah, just a quick thing, a quick point to just add is that I think everything he described, you know, when he said scientists, they don't want to deal with an artifact that they, you know, they contradicts what they know. When I first met Jordan, he says there are no scientists. And I couldn't resolve that in my mind. I couldn't figure it out. I just didn't have the knowledge or understanding. And now today I do.
Right.
Politics, corruption. So he nailed it. And so his work, as far as I'm concerned, his could be a big chunk of the new educational system that we should have all had, where we're always asking questions. We're always investigating and turning over every rock. So thank you, Jordan, for that unparalleled commitment. So anyways, I want to hear what he has to say, because this is about him and honoring him.
No, exactly. And this, again, is about redemption. So let's just go right to it.
A chance in your mind for all of us being in this sickly, very evil-driven state, is there a chance for redemption?
For individuals, not for the country, not for the country, no. There's never been a redemption for a nation of people, no. Not at all. It's only for individuals. Look at and all of this goes back to the stars. I mean, I take it all the way back to astrotheology. The ancient, most ancient science the world has ever known was called astrotheology. That's where the real truth is. That's where a legitimate bedrock down home, legitimate truth that people need to, if you're going to worship something, the very word worship comes from the combining of two words. The very first word, worth, W-O-R-T-H, worth, the value of something, it's worth. And ship, put it together with ship, like citizenship and courtship and scholarship and all the other ships. That's maritime admiralty law, all kinds of ships. But worth-ship becomes worship. And so you're saying whatever it is you're spending a lot of time on and looking at and devoting a lot of energy to is what you worth-ship. You're putting a lot of value and worth on it. I put a lot of value and worth on education, knowledge, intellectual acumen, being able to read and think and spell. And like any other human, I make all kinds of mistakes because I always say I'm just an ordinary man pursuing an extraordinary knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I'm in no position to be an authority on anything, but I'm smart enough to be able to read and I can tell what I'm looking at. And so, I understand where all of this stuff has come from. There's a whole world out there. I wish I could remember all the things I wanted to talk about because there's so much out there, so much to talk about, and things come to my mind when you're talking, and but then they're gone just as quickly. So there's so many different things we need to know. And the bottom line on all of this, I would say, is the biggest single problem we have on the earth today, and God knows we can sit and talk about 100 of them, and all of them are deadly, from wars and drugs and killing and stupidity and everything else. But I think the single biggest problem the earth has today is human stupidity and ignorance. Mm-hmm. We're ignorant because we don't read, we don't think, we don't question, we don't want to know. That's a very big word, want to know. And people, look at, you go into somebody's bedroom at night, slip in quietly and they're sound asleep, and you slip into their bedroom and you turn on a 600-watt bulb right next to them when they're sleeping. Of course it's going to scare them to death. They're going to jump and out of their sound sleep. And then when they find out what happened, they're not going to think it's very funny. It's not going to be humorous and funny that you invaded their bedroom and turned on the light and frightened them with that bright light. And so that's why people who are intellectually brilliant are trying to explain something and enlighten you. And if you've been asleep for all these years, sound asleep, ignorant, ill-informed, unread, don't know what's going on, and somebody who is intellectually and spiritually enlightened or brilliant, that's a word we use in relation to light, comes in to enlighten you, and you don't want to hear it. That's why the scripture says that Pontius Pilate brought to the people. There's a scripture in the Bible in the New Testament talks about Jesus and Barabbas. And the I can't remember if it was the governor of Judea, but anyway, the leader of the people in the city, the Bible says, brought two criminals out and to present them to the people. And the governor said to the people, said everybody in town was there, and they said that the governor said to the people, here's two prisoners. One is Barabbas, who everybody knows is a murdering thug criminal. Everybody knows that. And then there's on the other side, we have Jesus, the truth and the light, who's teaching people the truth and the light. Which one do you want? I can release one to you. And the scripture says with one voice, there wasn't discussion. No, one voice, everyone said, give us Barabbas, which is a symbolic story, a metaphor telling you that when the town, the city, the state, the country, or the world, when a group of people are confronting the truth in the light or a criminal, they will always say, give us Barabbas. Give us the lying, cheat, thugs, criminals. We know that they're thugs and criminals. We know that's how they got to be where they are, by being filthy, degenerate, murdering criminals, and they get to be a dog-eat-dog world. They're on the top. So that's what we want. We want to vote for them because they're like us. They have no morals. No, nothing concerns them about killing people. We don't either. And so we want, give us Barabbas. We don't want Jesus with the truth and the light. We're not interested in truth and the light. Talking about money now. It's business.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? Before we run out of time, I'm going to say this. It is true that is precisely what people ask for. When you wonder and you look around the world why the corporations behave as they do, they poison us, the governments torture people, destroy things, go to war, and absolutely abuse the populations. It is generally because that is what the people have asked for, not necessarily with the one voice that you were talking about, but truthfully with their actions. Much like you were talking about earlier, you'll know the tree by the fruit it bears. Well, the fruit that you bear is the leadership you wind up with, the individuals that rise to the top. This is what happens.
Well, what else can be said there? incredible stuff always came out when Jordan was on the show. I was going to play a clip here, but instead I think I'm going to just go straight to the break. And in the next hour, Jeffrey Matt will continue with me and Aaron Franz will be added to the discussion. And we're going to continue to play some stuff from Jordan Maxwell, the late Jordan Maxwell, as this is a 2-hour long tribute to him. And I hope that you guys are still learning even after he has already taken his last breath. You still have work to do. Stick around.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli Effect.
Revelation through conversation.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper. What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away.
Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Uncle, do you remember that time when Nibiru, also known as Planet X, was going to get within the gravitational pull of the Earth and cause mass commotion and chaos?
More of that. More commotion. More confusion. It goes into the confusion thing. Head going nuts, he's going back, and it's going crazy.
I hate being confused like that.
But that's exactly how he works it.
It is, but at the Ocelli.com radio network, you're never confused.
No, it's straight to the point.
Straight talk.
And I like that idea.
It's about time. Forget this new bureau stuff and listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
.com, and he'd get it right where you want to hear it at. Right straight ahead instead of ding-donging back and forth here.
Ocelli.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Ocelli.com.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect continues now at Ocelli.com, and this is an odd show. Why? Because it is a tribute to a friend, a teacher, and a great man named Jordan Maxwell. So if you're tuning in late, you missed a whole lot of interesting clips and a few thoughts from one of his other friends, Jeffrey Matt, who had also learned from him a great deal. And, we can continue to learn from him. In addition, we're joined by Aaron Franz, the host of, right, here we go, the host of The Age of Transitions, and the co-host of Uncle, the podcast, which we broadcast here on Ocelli.com. But interesting thing about Aaron's broadcast career, so to speak, he had been a substitute host on the Jordan Maxwell show. So, I mean, imagine me trying to substitute host on Jordan Maxwell's show. Wouldn't have happened. Different style. Which, by the way, I just want to say something really quick before I play the next clip, which will be very, very brief. And that is that, you know, people criticized that because you heard me talk on some of those clips. And you even heard Jordan say, you know, sometimes you're talking and I lose track of what I'm saying. There were people that were angry at me for interrupting Jordan and for talking while Jordan was on. Not known by most of you is that he absolutely insisted that I do that. I said to him one time, I'm really sorry, I got excited, I was talking, and this was like third, fourth interview, and he said, no, you can do that. What you do is good, and as a matter of fact, and then as he got a little older and things went, you know, a little differently, and he got kind of sick, and he was a little off sometimes, and would tell me so. He would ask me right before we went to air, please keep me on track and interrupt me and put me back into where it is. You know how to do that. So I never wanted to say that publicly, but it needs to be known. I did not do that because I was being disrespectful to him. I did it because he requested it. Okay? So anyway, this is my favorite clip, actually, from him being on my show. I've got one more from my show, and then I've got something that nobody's ever heard before, with the exception of one person, outside of myself and Jordan, because it was part of a private conversation. But anyway, let's get to what my favorite clip of the show is, and I often play it as an ad, but the reason why is because Tony Hurst put it together when he heard Jordan make this statement, and I thought that was amazing. And the next thing I know is the next day, Tony made an ad out of it and put his voice as a voiceover after Jordan made a statement. And I thought it was so great, so powerful. And even though Jordan was a little older at this point, it sounded a lot like the young Jordan Maxwell, which was a much tighter and more aggressive sound, depending on the circumstance. So I love this clip, and I hope you guys do too.
Well, it's about goddamn time they wake up. Hell, I've been talking about this since 1959, about the corruption, the incredible lies, deception of the entire superstructure of Western civilization, and the incredible treason, lunacy, lies, deception. It's just amazing how much has been done in the past 100 years to the human family.
That was Jordan Maxwell on the Ocelli Effect. For more pods with Jordan and Chuck, search Ocelli.com, along with hundreds of other shows and topics as presented by Chuck Ocelli on Ocelli.com. Thanks for listening.
Now, some regular listeners might know that that ad has been played off and on, and over the past few days has certainly reemerged. I felt like playing it. I kind of put it aside, actually, thinking that Jordan was going to come back very soon, actually, and do something else that was way worthy of exactly that. And I thought that was a very cool little clip. Of course, I also have to warn you now that Jordan's language in this hour might sound a little harsher. Just to let you know, the bleeps on that piece that he put in, that was for legal reasons, and there was some harsh language, but I'm not bleeping his harsh language. We're going to have to mark this. Probably, you know, it's got a little bit of strong language on it for the podcast, whatever. But in the private conversations, sometimes Jordan and I would talk to each other sort of as sailors, depending on what his mood was. Just so you know. Okay. Anyways, so I'd like to get first Aaron Franz's take on this and then go to Jeffrey Matt if he's got anything to say about the little clip that we just played. But Aaron, you first. Also, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about your interactions with Jordan. Like I said, you had been a substitute host on the Jordan Maxwell show. But I don't know much else about the background or anything. Like, you know, if you communicated with him a lot or a little, I don't know. I never asked you. So yeah. I guess I get to find out now.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for having me here, Chuck, just to pay my respects to Jordan Maxwell and Jeffrey being here, too. It's good to be with you two doing this show. And Jordan Maxwell is somebody I very much respect and look up to and emulate, too, with the sorts of topics that interest me and that I've dedicated some of my work to. So I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if Jordan Maxwell hadn't been a predecessor. So good to be here tonight, again, despite the circumstance, and really always had the utmost respect for Jordan. My relationship to Jordan was it wasn't much. I had met him in person back in 2009, I think it was. It was this event in at the Los Angeles Convention Center called the International Alchemy Conference. And I went to this thing to cover it for like a blog that I had at the time. And I just wanted to, you know, see what the International Alchemy Conference is all about. And so I was there with my camera and, like, you know, doing the sort of indie journalist thing. And I just happened upon a booth where Jordan Maxwell was there. So me and my buddy, who was my de facto PA for the day, we went up because we both knew Jordan. We talked to him. Like, hey, Jordan, how are you doing? We know your stuff. And I just thanked him. I'm like, man, thanks so much for doing what you do. And it was just a really... it was a really good interaction. It was one of those ones where what I came away from that was Jordan Maxwell's like genuineness. So the fact that like I told him how much it mattered to me what he did, and in turn that like had meaning to him. Like he could tell that I meant it, and I could tell that actually like touched him, and that was something that he like genuinely made him feel good. So I was like, that's what I took away from that. And I don't know, with this line of whatever it is that we do, the kind of stuff that Jordan Maxwell is into, his research, his sharing of just what he worked on throughout his life, it's just one of the sad things about it to me is that he shares, he puts all this effort into it. And just so many people will just like, and over the years, he just got so much grief. And it's just kind of like a de facto thing of people taking this stuff in. They'll want to like cut you down and like look for flaws and be like, oh, well, Jordan Maxwell isn't great because he says this and I don't agree with this. And to me, I just, the more that time goes on, like that stuff doesn't matter, and I realize like how much like the important part is, well, is the person here sharing what they found, where are they coming from? You know, are they being honest? Are they being genuine? Are they doing it because they love what they're doing? Or are they doing it for, you know, to make money or to make a name for themselves or, you know, some bad reason? And I know for a fact that Jordan was doing it for the right reasons, because there's no faking that. Like that really came across when I met him. And then, yeah, later, like you said, Chuck, I got the chance to host the show for a day, and that was a lot of fun. And yeah, I don't know. Just
well, another fun little piece of interaction is, you know, you've been working with me the longest on this little network here, and I know you remember this because I have conversations with Aaron after the show. So I'm sure that you'll recall this. When I was doing that long series with Jordan, and I got knocked off of a whole bunch of these like conservative like online radio networks. Remember that?
Yeah.
I was like, they hate him. They absolutely hate him, and they're like they're writing me nasty letters about I'm like a Luciferian now, and like I'm an anti-Christian because I have that disgusting Jordan Maxwell person on, and they were simulcasting Jordan Maxwell, and they freaked out. They didn't care anything else I had done. You know, everything else was fine up till how dare you. And I was sharing that stuff with you when they were kicking us off, and I said, look, man, I'm sorry, our distribution's going to be down here because these like angry people have decided they hate Jordan Maxwell. And I said to you at the time, I said, I don't know how it is they hate him. They don't realize that the history that allowed them to even exist is steeped in his work. Like, like this is the alternative radio guy. You know, Art Bell had him on, Alex Jones, of course. I mean, everybody had him on. Where are you going to argue with Jordan Maxwell's legitimacy if you're claiming to be an alt-media person of any kind? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Screw him. All right. Anyways, you know, I'm in that kind of mood tonight, Aaron. You know it. So,
yeah.
Jeffrey, nothing Matt, any comment you want to make on this or on that clip or anything before we move on? Because I got a couple of doozies here. One about etymology, and like I said, one was more of a private conversation. And again, the language, if I recall, is a little salty. But what are you going to do, Jeffrey? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to thank Aaron. Really appreciate your input, because it's something that I know as well. But to hear it from somebody else of your caliber, because you've done some very good work, and to hear you come out and say it too is very, very comforting to me. And it's just a double reconfirmation to the listenership out there that this man is the real deal, and he went above and beyond. And then for me personally, I also was a guest host on the Jordan Maxwell Show, so I personally consider it as an honor, and it was fun.
Right.
So I just want to thank you, Aaron, for that. And you know, not much more to add. If we can go to the next clip, but just want to make sure that the listenership understood that part.
No, listen, I'm so glad to have you guys along, because again, it just represents you know, a lot of different ways that Jordan's influence will continue on. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's that simple. I'm gonna go to this clip, but before I do, just real fast. I've said it before, I know I said it to Jordan privately, and I'm pretty sure publicly, I'd have to check, because I don't remember every single word I've ever uttered, but philosophically, this guy is part of my base. That's the thing. I don't exist like this. I don't exist exploring the things I do without Jordan's work. It's that simple. It's like playing rock and roll and not recognizing Chuck Berry. Okay? It's just impossible. You get it? So, you know, it's like being a heavy metal artist and going, I don't really like Black Sabbath. You know, it's impossible. Okay, so you got a guy like Jeffrey Matt. He's clearly different than me, and so is Aaron. And Aaron's different than everybody. I love him. You know that. You know I love you. But, I mean, the diverse group of individuals who owe this man, okay, part of their intellectual being, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not saying that he's, you know, the absolute, like, you know, like there's only one guy or anything, but he's an integral part. Okay, you know, if we were talking about a car, this guy is a carburetor. Okay, you don't run without him. It's just that simple. So in order to even get into this kind of mechanic, in order to start to be on the edge of exploration, in order to go forward, in order to challenge the system, this guy did it first. And that's all there is. Anyway, I'm going to go to the next clip, which speaks directly to a couple of these things. And also, what made the Christians so angry? I love this part. And also, by the way, I got a whole bunch of now I'm an anti-Semite also after having Jordan on for that long series. So I got a bunch of those fan letters, as I did share some with Aaron as they were happening. and I know you were entertained by them. And a lot of times Aaron's response was like, what is wrong with people? But this might have been part of it. And it also, like I said, etymology and maybe anti-Semitism in this clip. But here we go. I'm not saying Jordan's anti-Semitic, by the way, but he addresses the issue.
I want to give you a classic example of that. Anytime you hear the term anti-Semitic, the very word, the very term anti-Semitic is what is known as a misnomer. It's stupid. Only uneducated people use that. People who are well-read and understand the etymology of words and terms and symbols realizes that the very word Semitic has no basis in anybody's language, period. There is no such a thing as Semitic, period. End of sentence. So when you talk about anti-Semitic, that implies that there is somebody who is Semitic. In point of fact, there is nobody Semitic. It's a word. And it's a word based on a false foundation and a lie to start with. And so there is no such a thing as Semitic. Therefore, there is no such a thing as being anti-Semitic. There is something called anti-Jewish. Now, that's different. Mm-hmm. That's a different word, you'll notice. Anti-Jewish, that's one word. But the word Semitic is a misnomer. Only an ignorant person would use that term. I don't care if it's a professor in the university. I don't care who it is. If you use that word Semitic, you're ignorant of the facts of life. You haven't done your homework.
That's true, but it's made even worse, I think, by the fact that although it wasn't, one of those things that has existed for a long time, the people that were first identified with that term are not the same people that are currently identified by that term anyway.
That's right.
To my understanding, now you can correct me here, I mean, please do, but to my understanding, those that you would consider like the Palestinians over there in the, because believe me, I've got no love for the nation state of Israel. I've got no love for any of these criminal nations, including the one
I'm sitting in. Yeah, me too.
Including the one I'm sitting in. But, but the thing is, when you talk about Semitic people, even if you were to attempt to pick up that term, you're really talking about the Palestinians who are on the opposite side of the issue from those that are being described now as Semitic. I mean, unless I'm crazy, again, please.
No, but why is Israel, even today, Israel says that they are in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you have the word Palestine? It's because, quite simply, before Israel ever existed, there were people living there, and they were called Palestinians. That's why you got Israel in Palestine.
Right.
And so, but nobody seems to understand the words and the terms and what they mean. And so the whole idea of Semitic is something that really bothers me terrible. I got a lot of things that bother me about religion, but that's one of them. When people talk about somebody being Semitic, the whole word Semitic, if you take a few minutes out of your busy day and sit down and do something really strange, read a book, open up a dictionary and look at something for the first time before you go talking about it in public and showing yourself to be a fool, like the Bible says, it's better to keep your mouth shut and have everybody think you're a fool than to open your mouth and prove it. So I'm saying that if you really want to understand words and terms, look at the word Semitic. You will find there is no such a thing as Semitic. Why? Because the word Semitic comes from one of the three sons of Noah. Noah and the Ark. Remember in the Old Testament, Noah and the flood and the Ark? And it says that one of the three sons of Noah was called Shem. And so the correct word was anyone who Shem gave birth to, his line of descent would be called Shemitic. There were three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japhetic, and Japheth. So the idea being is that we have Semitic people because of Shem, one of the three sons of Noah. Now, once you start looking at the whole story of Noah and the Ark, you find out it never happened. There was no Noah, there was no Ark, and there was no worldwide flood. Period. It never happened. Yes, there has always been great, terrible, huge floods, on the earth. We know that because the pyramid has got salt deposits and seashells on it. So something happened a long time ago. where water is not today. It was but before. We know that there are pyramids sitting on the ocean floor of the Atlantic. Right now, 10 miles north of the island of Bimini in the Bahama Banks, is a pyramid sitting on the ocean floor. But nobody seems to worry too much about that because scientists don't want to talk about it. Why? Because they don't know anything about it, and it makes them look like a fool that they've tried to talk about it. So don't even bring it up. But if you look at the world as for what it is scientifically, you will find that there have been horrible floods. Whole continents have been involved in great floods. We know that. You can see it in the strata of the mountains. But there was never a earth-wide flood that covered the whole earth above the highest peak and the highest mountain, like the Bible says. No. Mm. There's not that much water to cover the whole earth, even to cover the highest mountain. So we know that's ludicrous. But we find out later that that the whole story of Noah is based on Gilgamesh, something called the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is an old ancient Sumerian Babylonian story, thousands of years old, about a great prophet who had the three sons and three daughters, and he was told by God to build an ark and to save the human race, and he took in animals, and it's called the Gilgamesh Epic. Go to a library and read a book about it, and it will tell you thousands of years before the Hyksos, or what we call the Hebrew people, even existed. There was the story of the great ark and the great world flood. Well, of course, the Hebrews picked that up. And now we have it as Noah and the Ark. Well, all science and all archaeological and paleological scientists know there was no earth-wide flood. There was no Noah, and there was no son called Ham, Shem, and Japheth. The whole thing is a story. That's why the Bible is called the greatest story ever told. It's a story. It's not actual history. And so when you understand that, well, then if there was no flood, there was no Noah, and he didn't have three sons, well, then where do we get the word Semitic if there was no Shem? Never existed.
And there you have it. Again, Jordan, really, you know, like I said, he sounds very energetic in that clip, and I love that because the last couple of shows I did with him, maybe he didn't quite sound that way, but he was still him. And so for commentary, I guess I'll start with Jeffrey Matt this time about that clip. And, gee, we've only got a little more time left. So by all means, go ahead and say what you'd like. And then I'd like to get a take from Aaron. And I've got just one more clip, unless I'm going to continue the show longer than 2 hours tonight. So go ahead, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I really like that clip. I, to learn to grow and expand my psychology, because guess where I learned this from? I learned it from him. And the whole and for me, the way I look at it, because I'm still learning, is that, if I want to better understand each country's nation, the terms and words of how they use these words and what are the contexts and where did it come from? Well, he is one of the most basically, he's the part of my foundation, a major chunk of it, of learning how and where all this stuff comes from. And so here he comes on. What I like the most about him is that, like you said, he's energized. He knows what he's talking about. He explains, gives step by step, so that the person who doesn't know about any of this possibly could wake up in moments and start their journey of saying, I want to know how the world really works. And I want to know if Jordan Maxwell is really actually accurate. And so he provides always enough information for the individual to begin their awakening process one topic at a time. Whereas that's just my sort of two cents about it, because it is a rough, it's a rough topic. The whole anti-Semitic thing, I think, is a trap. And then he helps, because I have friends of all the faiths, and I'm not anti-Jewish. I'm pro-good people. And so when you learn about the words, you don't make the mistake moving forward. And that's why I love this clip so much. I don't know what you think, Aaron, but those are just my two cents.
Yeah, no, it's a great clip. And it's Jordan doing his comparative religion thing, which is I love comparative religion. Definitely Jordan, I think, was the first one I really heard talking on the topic. But it's not a popular one because everybody likes to feel special, you know, any group that you're a part of. You want to feel like you're exclusive and like you're something new. It's good to feel like you're something new and different from everything else. But the whole thing with the comparative religion thing, so much of other stuff that Jordan does too, he's pointing out the similarities in this case, different religions and faiths that people have. And so it's, people take that as like a denigration. It's like, oh, well, we're special and you're telling us that we're not. It's like, I think people take it that way when they don't need to. I think it'd be better, more instructive to say, hey, look, just because your particular religion comes from out of previous religions that predated the current one, doesn't mean it's like necessarily like terrible. I mean, I don't know. I think it's that reticence to accept the fact that we are a part of the past and that nothing really is new under the sun. We want to think like we've come so far and everything's so different, but that's kind of just like flies in the face of it. Like, hey, look, everything's the same. And then also the idea that the stories in religious texts are not literally true. I think it's a great just basic 101 thing that you would think that a lot of people could get on board with. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, well, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, there's not enough water to to drown the entire world. Yeah, I get that. Like, so clearly when the Bible says that, it can't be literal, right? But people for some reason want it to be literal, and they can't shake that either. So it's just like, it's crazy because it's like these non-offensive and basic things, but people are still getting offended by it, and I just think it speaks a lot to the situation we're in. And again, to Jordan's credit, I just always loved that he would just you know, not be afraid to say, hey, look, maybe let's look at things this way, you know. And he was very he could be confrontational at times, but that was his style.
No, I loved it. Yeah, go ahead, Jeffrey. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say really quick, Aaron, is that you said they couldn't, the two points of it, you couldn't shake the idea that, you know, we're not, if someone's teaching something, it's not to say the person who's learning isn't special because of whatever the discussion is, that, but it's the story. Just like what Chuck was saying and just like what you're saying, I find it so fascinating that, and this, I have to say this about myself too, but I'm getting better at today. I have to shake out of the story. Shake out meaning, what if it is actually a story? And if it isn't, okay, fine. If it is, though, and I'm thinking it's not a story, but it actually is, that's where self-education, self-development comes up. And I'm glad that you brought up, you know, the realistic versus unrealistic versus – but when you mention the word story, that's really – I think that's a huge thing. So anyways, I just wanted to throw that in there.
No, I love this because the very first – off-air conversation I had with him, I remember it very clearly because I wanted to talk to him about secret societies, and I wanted, you know, okay, let's plan a show. I want to have you come on for an hour and, you know, and just, you know, let's do this and let's break that down. You know, the Knights Templar and how this worked out and where do we see them today and stuff like this, right? And he said to me, well, what about religion? Why aren't you discussing that part of it? And I said, well, because I see things in a way that most people seem to object to. And I can't really articulate it, honestly. He said, well, try, you know, explain this to me. I said, well, you know, to me, it's all these different religious orders and everything. They're all like a pizza. Okay, what do you mean? I said, well, everybody's got a slice, and it all belongs to the same thing. And you know, people can eat their slice if they want, or they can eat a couple of slices, but it's all the same pizza. It's all the same thing. I don't, you know, view it as any better or worse. And in fact, you know. I've tried to explain this before, by the way. I got a little pushback for how can you be a multi-faith? I'm a multi-faith minister. Okay. How can you do that? Because I feel it's all the same. And I'm there to serve that person. I'm not there, you know, in that role. This wasn't with Jordan that time, but I said, it's all about this pizza. It's syncretism is what it is. And actually, these things all line up nicely because you can always put the slices back in the pizza and see the whole pizza if you want. And I see the whole pizza. He kind of laughed at that a little bit and thought it was good and then wanted me to discuss religion with him on air. Okay? So I did. What can I say? Honestly, it was him pushing me to talk about some stuff that I already had in my, in my mind and in my heart. And he actually encouraged it and wanted me to do it with him. So, you know, there you have it. I don't know what you guys think of that, but that was one of the earliest things. And it so happens I do have a piece of a conversation, which I'm going to play toward the end here, after I give you guys another couple of minutes to talk about whatever. Because again, we're here to pay tribute to Jordan. It's not about us necessarily, although I'd love to hear what you guys have to say. And it's really great to, to have the three of us come together and talk about what wonderful things he gave, not just to us, but to everybody, one way or another. So I'm more than happy to do this. But at any rate, before I get into this little, again, the language might be a touch salty. And it's not a long clip. It's only about 3.5 minutes. But you guys, I'd like you each to take some time and just add in whatever it is you feel is appropriate here. I mean, what else should we remember? What else should we continue to remember? Because, as I said, Jordan is, he is gone in one way. But he's not. Because years and years and years of work and education, no matter if they scrub him from the internet, even, and I hope they don't, has touched a lot of people and will continue to have an effect. So, by all means, again, Aaron, maybe I'll start with you. No, I'll start with Jeffrey this time. Jeffrey, throw in whatever it is that you feel is appropriate here before we play this final clip. And then, I don't know, maybe what I'll do is play a bit of a speech I have from Jordan after this, and I'll extend the podcast, but I'll only keep you guys here till the top of the hour, okay?
All right.
Anyway, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Well, no, the thing is that I'd rather wait till after the clip, if that's okay, because I want to hear this clip.
Okay. Again, it's never been played anywhere. It wasn't part of a show. It was just something that happened to be recorded. And I stuck it in a folder with a bunch of other recordings. There was one show that he completely did not want released. I didn't release it. Actually, I did start to release it, and then he told me not to, and I pulled it back afterwards and told him a couple of people might have it. And then there was a couple of other things that I recorded, and he said literally at one point, you can't let anybody hear that while I'm alive. And I have a couple of those. Along with just some other things, I'm not sure altogether. I haven't gone through it in a bit, but it's stuff I've collected over the years, just put in a folder on this very same old computer that I've had for some years. I got the computer in 2014, so I think it goes back to about then, stuff that I collected from Jordan. So, Aaron, what would you like to add in here?
The same as Jeffrey. I just really want to listen to this, to be honest.
Fair enough. We'll get to it, and we'll get to these guys' commentary afterwards. And not so much from me anymore. Let's get to Jordan, let him speak, and then let these guys speak. And I want to thank also Jeffrey, Matt. I want to thank, Dave, Nature Boy, for sure, for contributing clips. And also my friend Mitch. Anyways, because you guys all helped and provided some of these clips for me. But this one I just had in a folder, again, marked as do not publish until after Jordan's death, literally to remind myself not to even go in the folder, and I have not until, this weekend.
As of December, it would be 59 years I've been doing what I do. And the next year will be 2019, will be 60 years from 59. 59 to 19 to 2019 will be 60 years I've been doing what I do and talking on radio and doing lectures and seminars, etc., on the same subject, how much we don't know. That's what I'm trying to do, wake people up. Wow. And I don't give a shit if the authorities don't like it. Don't give a shit. I didn't come here to make friends and influence people. I came here to expose the bullshit. That's what I do. And I tell on the radio, I say that, you know, if you don't like what I'm doing, talk to God. He's the one that sent me. So
that's a great response.
It's only natural that I should be doing what I do, because somebody's got to do it, so I don't mind. I'll do it. I don't care what you think about me, because I'll be gone soon. And when I leave here, I will have done whatever it is I do, and maybe it will live on. Maybe other people will wake up and start asking questions. You know, that's what I do for a living. And so, anyway... But I appreciate being on the show with you, and let's talk later.
No, hey, anytime at all. And, you know, again, I really would love to hear the show in Israel, so don't forget to email me.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to find out.
I want to hear how that goes.
Yeah.
That's unique to me. Okay, really quick, I just want to mention that at a certain point, there was an offer to broadcast the... Dogmatic Theology series, like after the first two episodes, I think, on a regular radio station in Israel. So Jordan was like, you know, do you want money for it? And I told him no. If he could figure out a way to get paid to have it put over there, that just, you know, send me the paperwork to sign. So that's what that's about. Just so you know. Nobody knew that. But you know what? To this day, I did sign off on a couple of things. I don't know if it was ever broadcast over there. Jordan never told me. But I signed off on a couple of things where they needed my consent to use my show or whatever. And just if Jordan approved it, I approved it, period. Anyways, back to the clip. It's not done. Hold on.
So yeah, I can't wait, because there's so much shit I want to pour on them. I, you know, going right to the heart of the problem, going to Israel. Mm. I'm going to talk about the founding of the State of Israel and let my people go. Mm. And, you know, this land is mine. God gave it to me.
Yeah, well, they got the orders from the Lord. The problem is it was Lord Rothschild.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, but this is the one Lord that actually makes things happen.
Yeah, well, there you go. But still, that's the Lord they're talking about when they say the Lord gave him the land, right?
That's right. It was Lord Rothschild. He gave him the land. And that's, I understand. I don't have any problem with that. And like George Carlin said, you know, if I'm going to worship anything, I worship Joe Pesci, because at least he gets shit done. You know, you don't mess with him.
God. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So he said, I worship the sun. The sun gives me life. It gives me energy. It keeps me warm. It feeds me. So I worship the sun. I don't mind ever telling everybody I'm a sun worshiper. I worship the sun. And he said, and his the sun's great prophet is Joe Pesci. Because he gets shit done. You know, you just ask him one time and it gets done. So that's my feeling too. anyway, we'll talk later. I'll send you some info. We'll be talking before the next show. I'll let you know.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks a lot, and you know, thanks again for doing this. And hope you feel even stronger next time, because you know you're like, well, I'm not sure how I am on each daily basis, but you know what? Hope you're feeling even better next week, and hope all goes well for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. And thank you. We'll see what it all looks like next week.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. So he was coming on week to week, and some weeks he didn't feel well. We would talk in between, and we'd see how he was doing. And sometimes he would say to me, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to feel up to this. And I'd say, no problem. You know, you just tell me, and we'll deal with it. That's what that part of the conversation was about. But again, this was not meant for public consumption. But I wanted to show you what it was like to just kind of like kick back and talk to him with nobody listening. Okay. I know you guys just got to listen, so kind of a contradiction there. But it's it was fun to talk to him. It was just really good to talk to him. And I'm just really grateful to have had a few moments like that with him. I mean, it's more than a few, and it's over the course of some years. And I never did get to shake his hand, unlike the two guys that are on the show with me tonight. We planned on going to see him, and then he fell ill at a certain point when he was in Arizona. But anyway, that was at an earlier point where he was not feeling too strong, but he came back. He was doing good, and whatever. I don't want to linger on all that. His health was not good for some years, but he was still an amazing individual. And as I said, most of the time that he was on, he had an incredible amount of energy. I know the last couple of shows maybe didn't sound so energetic, but he was still Jordan Maxwell. So with that, now I'll go back to Jeffrey's commentary and then Aaron's.
Well, I'm really pleased that you played this, and I'm also happy that the people of Israel, for those who want to know, had access to some. I don't know what if it was all of it or not, but I remember Jordan and I having conversations about this series, and that he was very pleased that he could do this. He was very happy about the gentleman in Israel, very happy about what he did with you, Chuck, and all this stuff. And so I unfortunately never got to listen to that show live in Israel. But at the same time, it's like, look at the reach of this man. Look at the reach. He's able to reach in to those who want to know, inside their culture, and help them decipher, decode, explore, and evolve into a whole new you, where you improve your whole understanding of all these topics, words, terms. And the thing is, there's a lot of stuff on the net for the last 2 decades where Israel is a bad place and all that stuff. I don't want to participate in any of that. I want to celebrate the concept that a man can educate himself, share with anybody. Because the thing is that once you start poo-pooing somebody, you take away the chance for them to connect with. And so I'm not saying that I've never made mistakes, but I'm just saying, so this is my commentary about this, is that this man can reach into almost any culture, any background, any age, and dazzle. And so when you play this clip, it's important, because those who are not as familiar with Jordan as Aaron, you and I, get to, wow, that's cool. So he wasn't just in Israel. He did stuff in the Middle East and all over the world, in the Islamic territory, or people call that Islamic territory, in the Christian environment. So it's too bad that he had to shoulder critiques from people who couldn't really hold a candle to him.
It's hilarious because, I appreciate what you're saying, but I'm going to transition this over to Aaron because I want him to speak to this. I had private conversations with him about his friendship with Manly P. Hall, and also had private conversations with him about former cabinet secretaries sitting down to dinner with him and stuff like this, which I know is in that folder too. Where that was one of the conversations I know he said, oh, for God's sake, do not let that out while I'm alive. And it was, not on air. I do almost everything live on air, but it just so happened that that was one of those things I had recorded separately, and I was trying to do my After Effects shows. And I said, wow, Jordan, this is amazing stuff. I'd love to put this. Oh, no. Please don't. So I didn't, and it sat in that folder, and I don't even recall all of what's there. But, I mean, when you think about a guy who has had, world-famous people sit down with him. He talked in an earlier clip about some of the people he knew in Hollywood, which he definitely did. I was really glad that he had his birthday party, at the end of December there before before he wound up getting very sick a few weeks later, from which he did not emerge recovered. But point is that he had that birthday party. He definitely traveled around. He met a whole lot of interesting people and influential individuals. And his reach is something that, quite frankly, the three of us cannot do justice to. As far as what it is we know, what it is we don't know, there's a lot there.
Not that right.
So, you know, I'm just trying to be fair here. No offense to either one of you guys. We don't even know all the people that interacted with him, all the people that came at him, all the people that, you know, that loved him. We have very, very little clue about exactly how much influence and reach he actually had. And as I said, if you start with his relationship with Manly P. Hall, okay, and then you go on, that's an awfully interesting confluence of individuals that Jordan Maxwell has influenced, worked with, talked to. And I'll tell you, one of the proudest moments of my later life here is during one of those private conversations when we were discussing something. He actually stopped, paused for a moment, and said, "You just taught me something." Okay. Didn't happen often, but it was one of those things where, you know, he said he didn't know. I brought up something, he said he didn't know about it, and I talked about it. And, you know, he said that one time, and it also said that, you know, that he felt that I was one of the better experts on, you know, the Kennedy assassination and stuff like that, which he said to me personally. But, you know, I can say that only happened a couple of times where I taught him something. But it was, I got taught 1,000 things, and I gave a man 2, and I feel bad. And I probably gave him a few more than 2, but not many. Not many more. Anyway, Aaron, your commentary.
Yeah, well, actually, the Manly P. Hall thing came up when I spoke to Jordan in person. I forget how it came up, but we started talking about Manly P. Hall, and Jordan was going on and on about, yeah, he's a friend. He's saying how great Manly P. Hall was, and I think I remember him saying something like, "There's kids skateboarding out here at age 20. At age 20, he was publishing the secret teachings of all ages." He said something to that effect. Yeah. You can quite imagine him saying that. And he had mentioned that Manly P. Hall left Jordan a lot of his, like, personal notebooks and things like that.
Right.
Those were gifts that Manly P. Hall gave to Jordan. So I know Jordan at one point at least was in possession of those. So that's really cool. And yeah, just to parrot your point about his reach, Chuck, he's one of those guys that, for sure, this Jordan, the stuff that he's put out, more people have been affected by it and have heard the ideas that he's shared. And just like when you think of his appearance in the film Zeitgeist, the stuff that they chose to put in there of him, that sort of stuff. And I think so many people have seen his stuff, and that when they have, it's so powerful and so good that it actually does stick with people. And I think it's impossible to say how many, but I think people would be surprised at, again, his reach, because it's amazing to think how effective that actually is, and a tiny fraction of those people will even know Jordan Maxwell's name. But that's not the point. I know that's not what he's going after. It's the ideas are out there, and he did it. He was really effective and good at doing that, at what he did.
And we played, I know you weren't with us for the first hour, but we actually played part of the introduction from Zeitgeist. You know, like I said, I'll take the copyright strike if there's one to be had. But we played part of it, and his ideas permeated so many other people's work that it's impossible to count it. And I've encountered some other interesting names, Santos Bonacci, you know, well, Max Egan, people like that who are respected, you know, like in the alternative world of intellectuals and things like that, highly influenced by this man. You know, it's just amazing to me. Like I said, Art Bell, you know, if you want to get into just the oddity of the broadcasters who have well, had him on as a guest. I mean, it's just everybody. Everybody. Because that's how important and how strong the ideas are that he presented, that he gave to people. So, you know, it's just, it's incalculable to imagine exactly how much reach he truly has. And again, like I said, even when I was sharing that stuff, when people were screaming about him and sending me messages and canceling me and stuff, I said, you know, it's just amazing to me that these people don't realize that they're kicking at the person whose shoulders they're standing on. I'll never get over that. I'll never get over that because, I mean, I'm not, like, personally offended by it. I was like, yeah, whatever. I got canceled. I got thrown out. Badge of honor, if anything, right? But it was like, for Jordan Maxwell, you kicked me out. Not because I said something stupid or who wants to hear the what did that guy call me? The guy who wrote Dancing with Myself or whatever, or Idolette, right? He said, "Oh, if I'm worried about a moody Italian guy, I got bigger problems," right? Whatever it is, right? Whatever it is I'm doing, who cares? You know, I could have gotten thrown out of places for a lot of other things. But Jordan Maxwell is just, you know, it's like throwing somebody out of a restaurant because they're a chef and they made good food, you know, and that's not what we serve here. Okay. You know, it just makes zero sense. So I'd like to give each of you like a final moment, I guess, to just be part of the summation here. And, I'll leave it at that for tonight, guys. Not even with my commentary at the end, just, First, Jeffrey Matt, just really quick, like a quick minute here. You know, sum it up as best you can, Jeffrey.
I love you, Jordan. Thank you for everything. I'm going to do my best to continue learning, asking questions, and moving forward and helping and sharing. And two things, when Chuck was talking about his reach with, you know, state people, government, and finance, you know, he has met people from 8-year-old children who were asking about it to royalty. And when you do that, it very few people with or without degrees can do that. He did it seamlessly. So I want to just point out that everything that Chuck's been talking about was not exaggerated in any way from my perspective. And it's not over because Jordan Maxwell, he's a master, but he also knew other masters. And those other masters out there, there's a possibility that it's not over. And there may be some stuff that's coming down the pipe that is because of Jordan. We may have something that nobody ever thought was happening. We may actually have a chance to survive this cataclysm that's coming. And it's because of Jordan. And at least that's just my opinion for now. But I'll leave the rest to Aaron. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Jeffrey, and I'll just say that Jordan will be missed, but he will also be remembered. And yeah, I just have the utmost respect for him, who he was, what he did, and yeah, I owe him a lot, and that's really it.
Fair enough. My final word here tonight is very simple. It is for Jordan, and it is, you know, blessed. I pray that your travel is blessed. My brother, my teacher, thank you. Everybody, have a good night.
What Would I Do? Revelation Through Conversation in a radio show / podcast. You want the good news? Listen to the Ocelli Effect. Chuck Ocelli is the most underrated voice in all media. News, education, and entertainment. The Daily Bread from Ocelli.com. Go there. Save yourself from ignorance. Ocelli.com. Revelation Through Conversation. Ocelli.com. Jesus.